Good morning, and good morning to all of God's children. What a joy, what a privilege it is again for us to come together to thank God, to praise Him for who He is and what He's done in our lives. Saints, it's another day that the Lord has blessed us. We're just 3 days away from spring. Still feels a little bit like winter, but that's how it is in our spirit room sometimes. We see the shift that God is doing, and things still seems to resonate, and the residue of the season before us still seems to linger around us. But God sent me this morning to tell you the storm is passing. The storm is passing. You can smile again. You can laugh again. Matter of fact, you can do so many things that the Lord has called you to do. Do not allow the circumstances of today to cause you not to do what God has placed you in for this moment. Many times when I pray and I say to the Lord, this is a day that I've never seen before, but I know this day was ordained before the foundations of the world. What does that mean, Pastor? That means simply God knew what He was doing. God knew what would happen in this day. And whatever happens, God says, I have permitted it. And because I have permitted it, and I'm a loving God, a kind God, a merciful God, a just God, I will never let anything hit you that will devastate you to a point of no return. But what I would always do is allow you to go through things to develop you, that you may be stronger, wiser, and better. Saints, I come to you this morning as all for the last couple of weeks I've been giving you a certain word to hold you, to let you know and remind you of what you're supposed to be doing. We first talked about praise. I told you that praise is what you're thanking God for, how He has blessed you, how He's healed you, what He's done in your past. Worship is, I don't know what is going to come out of this, but I trust God to a level that it does not matter. I talk to you about faith. Faith is not what you say. Faith is what you do. The Bible tells us to speak those things that be not as though they are. Why? Because whatever the Lord says is already, even when it isn't so yet. I then told you to talk. I talked a little bit about mercy, and I praise God and I thank God for His mercy, His love for us. When we were yet sinners, He died for us. He loves us beyond ourselves, beyond the faults and beyond the things that we've done in our lives. I talked about grace, how we did not get what we deserved. Yes, let's be honest with each other. If God had given us what we deserved, none of us would be where we are right now. We would be dead, sleeping in a grave. We'd be tormented. But God looked beyond that and said, no, 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 I love that one. I love this one. I love her. I love him too much. So I'm going to extend forgiveness. I'm going to extend my grace. Today, I want to talk to you about promise. I want to remind you that God has made you promise, and He will never give you a task or a promise without giving you the time in order to fulfill it. The promise of God to you is more than a mink car, a mink coat, or a Mercedes-Benz. The promise of God is more than the material things that we often think about when we think about the promise. God has made so many promises to us, and He is true to His word. And I want you to know today, whatever promise God has made to you, He's going to fulfill it. Listen, nothing can stop God from doing what He said He's going to do. He's not a man that He could lie, nor the Son of Man that He needs to repent, which simply means if God said it, it's going to happen. But what we have to do is stop acting like we are kindergartners and toddlers. When you said it, I want it to happen right now. Sometimes God prepares us for what He wants to give us. That's the timing of God. We have to learn to trust the timing of God, because it's in the timing of God that we get the fulfillment of what God has promised us. God's word of promise is real. It's true. It's heart-centered. When He formed you before the foundations of your mama's womb, God said, this is what I wanted to do with her life. This is what I want to do with his life. And I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this, and she shall do this, and he shall do that. And we never know the trajectory. Yesterday, I had an interview with the county council, and it was interesting how they began to ask questions. You know, how is this working? How is that working? How did you even get to Delaware? How were you able to do the things you do at the East Zion Fair? And my response is God is the one, because he gives the trajectory of our lives. Yes, I wanted to go left a couple times. I wanted to go to the right a couple times. Matter of fact, I did some things I should not have done. But God looked beyond my fault with the words we talked about. I praised him. I worshiped him. I trusted him. I received the mercy and the grace of God. But most of all, I'm walking in the promise of God. And I say to you, as I shared that with you this morning, I want to say to you, let the promise of God be fulfilled in your life, because the word of God is real. What God has said over your life is going to happen. No demon can stop it. No water can drown it. No fire can burn it. No person can block it. We often talk about who's in the White House, but can I tell you something? It's who's in heaven that really matters. Because who's in heaven is the one who's going to get the last word. And we don't have to wait until we're done with this earth to receive what God has said he would do for us. There is one promise the Lord says that I often say whenever I'm going through anything in my life. And that is, I'll never leave you, nor will I forsake you. Because listen, if no other promise come to pass while I'm living, I just want the presence of God to be with me. And I don't know where you are today, and I don't know what's going on in your life today, but I need you to understand that if you don't get anything from the Lord, just hold on to the promise that he's with you. Hold on to the promise that he'll never leave you. Hold on to the promise he'll never forsake you. Hold on to the promise that he is God, and beside him there is no other. This morning I come to you with a sincere, urgent message for you. The promise of God is real. It's active, it's live, and you got to trust it. You got to trust that God knows what he's doing. You got to trust that God is bigger than your burden. You have to trust that God knows, and God will fix it. God will turn it. Do you know how many times my back was up against the wall? Do you know how many times your personal back was up against the wall and God brought you through? Have you sat down and thought about it? If God can get you through all of that, that was a part of the sermon for Sunday. God said, you know, when Isaiah was prophesying for God, I shared with the church and I showed him in the word how God stopped allowing Isaiah to prophesy, and he jumped in and started speaking for himself and said, who can I be compared to? Who could teach me anything? We have to start thinking about the awesomeness and the big God that we serve. We put too much confidence in man and in man's ability. But God is saying, no. I don't want you to do that. I want you to put your hope in me. I want you to put your trust in me. Sister, brother, hear me today. You've been counting on people too long. You've been hoping that people would respond, and your prayer is not so much that they give you this, that, and the other, but your prayer is that they deliver it. So you're waiting for the mail. You're waiting for the email. You're waiting for the response of man, but God is saying, I said so, and it's going to be so. And when it happens, it's going to happen when you least expect it. I told you the story of my wife and I when we wanted to have the baby. We kept doing everything we could to have the baby. We prayed, we fast, we called the church to pray, we called our pastors, pray. And then I started, why is it not happening? Because God does things in his own time. When we decide to let go and let God, God moves, and God makes stuff happen. I beg you today not to get in a hurry and get in front of God. Don't get in front of God. He's going to do it. He's going to fix it. Watch how it works out is one of my favorite lines to everyone who I talk to, because I want you to see the process in what you're going through. When people act crazy, I want you to see the process of what you're going through. I was talking with a group in a committee meeting on Monday, and there was a certain particular minister who spent a lot of time criticizing me. I mean, he criticized everything we did. He criticized everything, and I'm not going to get into the details of it, but he just criticized everything. He left our church and went to another church, and now he was at the right church. Everything was perfect. Everything was fine. There was nothing wrong, because now he found a church where the Lord reigned and where the people of God was moving and doing great things for God. Everybody's happy. I done forgot all about the person. Don't have to worry about the internet giving me some bad news that this person says this person said that. Just to find out now he's gone from that church. Mental illness is real, it's strong, and it's in the household of faith. But this is why I tell you that story. I tell you that story because God may not come when you want him, but he's always going to prove himself true. And he's going to show you that where I have you, it's there on purpose. You may have critics. You may have people who come against you, but you're there on purpose. That's the promise of God. God promised, I will keep you there. I will keep you in it and bring you out of it. When you're going through it, I'm there. I'm your present help. And this morning, if you're in this frame of mind that I just need God to work it out now, here's your word from the Lord. I'll work it out when I'm ready, but I'll hold you in it. You won't drown. You won't succumb. You won't be submerged. As a matter of fact, I told the saints a couple of weeks ago, you're unsinkable. You think you're going to drown in debt. You think you're going to drown. That's Satan's trick. That's what Satan wants you to believe. He wants you to believe if it doesn't happen right now, it's going to fall. You're going to fall apart. If it doesn't happen right now, things are going to go act crazy. No. Settle your spirit. Settle your spirit. Don't get in a hurry. Don't get yourself in front of God. Let God arise and his enemies be scattered. Let God arise and his enemies be scattered. See, you want it now, but God is saying you're not ready for it yet. You're not ready for this miracle I'm about to give you. I need you to go through a little bit stronger so that when you come out of this one, you'll tell the whole world, had it not been for the Lord, you can still give credit to your cousin. You can still give credit to your mama, your daddy, your auntie, your uncle, your children, your pastor. You can still give where you are right now. If the Lord delivered and did what he said he was going to do, you would give all the glory and all the credit to everybody else. But sometimes he takes you to the valley. Because there's a lot of learning that happens in the valley. I say to my young people all the time, there's no education like devastation. Because it is in your devastation that you learn how to trust God. It is in your devastation that you see God. You understand the voice of God. The devil can trick you when you're in the valley. Because you're seeking to hear the voice that has the power. The voice that has the wisdom. The voice that has the knowledge. Oh, child of God. Oh, sister, oh, brother, hear me today. God hears you. God sees you. And he gives you promise. I'm not going to walk away from you. I'm not going to desert you. Hold fast to the promise. The word of God this morning comes to us from Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, verse 35. As a matter of fact, I apologize. It's not Matthew 25. It's Matthew 24. Matthew chapter 24, verse 35. I apologize for that. I was still stuck on the promise of God because I wasn't really finished with that, but I wanted to move because I know I'm out of time. Just hold on to the promise, saints. Hold on to the promise. Hold on to the promise. As a matter of fact, why don't you just touch yourself and tell yourself, hold on to the promise. I know you're sleepy. I know you're just trying to get through it. Some of you are already asleep, but listen to me. For those of you who are listening to me this morning, tell yourself, hold on to the promise, because that's what's going to keep you. And if you can't remember any of the 3,000 promises that God mentions in the throughout the Word of God, can I tell you one promise I want you to hold on to? Because this is the one I hold on to, and this is the one I never neglect. This is the one I never walk away from. I never depart from. I'll never leave you, nor will I forsake you. So if I'm going through a hurt moment, Lord, you're with me. If I'm going through a devastating moment, you're with me. If I'm going through hardship, matter of fact, yesterday I had to have blood work done because now I'm on that annual thing where they got to take my blood to make sure that I totally don't have diabetes, that everything is still regulated, that my iron is right and all this good stuff. They want to make sure. Now that they can't understand how it's all gone. So I went into the doctor's office or to the med's shop, and I went in. The woman looked at me, and she started laughing. And I said, how you doing? She said, oh, Pastor, I'm doing well. So I'm thinking that she knew me from watching me on TV or some other place, but she knew me from the last visit because I'm the nervous wreck person. I'm the person who's scared to get blood, and you can't find my veins. And I don't want you sticking me. And it's on my chart. You're only going to stick me twice, and I'm done. But she started laughing, saying, oh, my Lord, this is going to be another drama moment. And when it was so funny, when she went to draw my blood this time, we found the vein right away, had the blood drawn, and I was up out of there. Can I say something to you? The Lord prepares you. The Lord fixes you. The Lord makes a way for you, but he made one promise, and this is where I was trying to go with this whole scenario I just gave you. He made one promise, I'm with you. And when I was walking in, the woman was laughing. I was saying, Lord, you with me. When she was telling me how she knew me from the last visit, all I was saying was, Lord, you with me, because I was just hoping she would hurry up and get this thing over with. But while I was waiting, all I was saying was, Lord, you're with me. Lord, you with me. And now that I've learned that, look at how they found the vein right away. Oh, great is thy God. Saints of God, hold on to the promise. The word of God today is Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 35. Listen to what it says. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall stand forever. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but God's word will last forever. One renderer said God's word. Another rendering says my word. The word of God to you today is simple. Let the word work in your life. Let the word work in your life. Please understand that the word of God is the promise of God. Whatever God says, it is so. Even when it is not so, until it becomes so. We don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. We trust what God has said. Thy word is a light unto my path, a lamp unto my feet. Listen to me very carefully with that. I twisted it up a little bit on purpose just to get you awake this morning. But I want you to listen to me very carefully. It is the word of God that keeps us, because the word of God is God's promise. It is what God said. Forget about what man has said. Man looks on the outward. God looks at the heart. He gives you a word that will help you, that will sustain you, and that will keep you. The word of God is real. It's active, and it's living. It did not stop in Revelations. People think once he said amen, that was the last of the voice of God. But no, he speaks with us daily. That's why we must be filled with the presence of the Holy Spirit. We must be filled with the presence of the Holy Spirit, because that's God speaking to us. That's God leading and guiding us. When the word of God has not addressed the issue, it is the Holy Spirit within us that tells us no or go forward or yes. Please understand that. We who have been a part of certain denominations thought that when you speak of the Holy Spirit, you think of the Pentecostals. But no. The Holy Spirit must dwell in all of us. We are Christians. We are children of God. When the Lord left his disciples the last time on this earth, he left them with power. And that was the Holy Spirit. And I beg you today never to close yourself up to the leading and the guiding of the Holy Spirit, because that will keep the word working in your life. It is the Spirit of God, the word of God, that keeps you living. The word of God is what God has said and promised us for the rest of our natural lives. God is saying it, he said it, and our job is to act it out. We must trust the voice of God, the mind of God, the heart of God in all that we do. And I beg you, as you're listening to me today, sometimes I'm in second gear, sometimes I'm hollering because it gets good to me. But today the Lord said, tell them that my word is going to outlast their worries. Tell them that my word is going to soothe their doubts. You have to put the word on whatever you're going through. My pastor was famous for saying, when you really want to know where the Lord is, put the word on it. Because when the rubber meets the road, it's the word of God that's still going to be standing. I beg you today to stretch out in his word. Let him speak to you. Let him address the situation you're going through. Give him time. You can't hurry God. You just got to wait on him. You can't hurry God. You just got to wait on him. Whatever we need, God's word supplies it. Not man, but God's word does it. Let the word work in your life. The text says heaven and earth shall pass away. But God's word, the word that he's planted in your life, the word that he's given you, the word that's over your life, shall stand forever. Who we are and what we're capable of getting and being is rooted out of what God has said already in his word and what God is saying through his spirit that's inside of you. Come on, let's let the word work in our lives today. Don't allow your troubles to get you down. Don't allow what's happening in your life to get you down. No, let the word work. My job is not to preach fire and brimstone to you. My word is to remind you of the peace of God, the strength of God, the hope of God. And that's what I want you to do in the midst of what you're going through. We were doing some planning, and I shared my heart with the committee. Our country is on fire. We love America. Because we're saved doesn't mean we don't love the place where God has placed us. We have things going on. They're taking from the poor. They're snatching everything and robbing us. But they're giving so much to the rich. They're doing the opposite of what the word of God calls for. And I shared with them, we need to laugh. We need to find the Lord in all of this. And I call for peace, not so much in the Middle East. I call for peace in people because there's a lot of trouble going on. But it starts with us because we can be in the world and not of this world. When we start allowing the things of this world to affect us, it takes our peace. When our money is bigger than our God, it takes our peace. So I beg you today, let the word of God calm you. Let the word of God speak to you. Let the word of God be your guiding force from this point forward. It will bless your life. You woke up this morning, not because you did it. You woke up because God did it. Yesterday, as my daughter and I and my wife were looking at some yearbooks, we were doing a library at our church and some things we're going to keep. And we were going through our yearbooks, and my daughter looked at us, and she gave her mother all the praise. Oh, mommy, you were so pretty. You were so this and you were so that. And when she got to me, she said, Daddy, wow, you look different. Your face looks the same, but you look different. Boy. And I said to myself, how come mommy can get all the praise and daddy got to get the rough? And the Lord said to me, time will always, because I was worried about my side, not mother's side, time will always produce the maturity of a person. And what my daughter was speaking to me was that you have matured. You're not the little guy I see in the picture. And God is saying, over time, I'm going to bless you to a level. I'm going to bless you to a level that when you look back over your life, you may have the same face, but your body would have experienced a different reality. You would have come through so much, and you would be so strong and so wise. You'll be able to do so much. In this moment, let the word work in your life. Stop looking at the circumstances. The question this morning is very simple. Why let the word work? Why let it work in my life? Here's number one, for strength. What you're going through, you can't handle it. It's the power of God that's going to get you through this. Why should you let the word of God work? For strength. While you're in it, you need some stabilization. You need to be stable. It's the strength of God. When Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, he didn't say it because he knew he can depend on his own strength. He said it because his strength was limited. You need to let the word of God work for strength, for the power of God. But there's another reason why. For solace, for peace. You really need it. It's so much going on. You're trying to figure it all out. Drop, and praise. That's what I want you to do. All this stuff that's going on, you can't figure it out. You can't figure it out. You're trying to figure it out. You're trying to make sense of it. It's making you angry because it's affecting your spirit. The solace that God wants to give you, he can't give it to you if you're worrying about everything happening around you, what's going on with your children, your grandchildren, what's going on in your marriage. You gotta leave all of that alone. And you gotta trust God. Not only must we let the word work for strength and for solace, but also for security. Yes, the protection of God. It'll give you the right mind. It'll clothe your mind to a place where you can see God in the midst of what you're going through. You need the protection. You need the security of God to keep you from the wolves that are trying to take you out. My brother, my sister, in this morning, it's Wednesday. We're at the top of the week. You shall make it. You will make it. But you're going to have to let the word work in your life. You're going to have to allow the word to work in your life. Your boss is going to get on your nerve. Your children are going to get on your nerve. As a matter of fact, you're going to get on your nerve. But this is what you have to do. You have to put the word in you. Because if the word is living actively in you, it'll calm you in the midst of storms. It'll calm you when you feel like you're going to fall apart. Today is your word. Your word is to let the word work, because it's the promise of God. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He'll be right here with you. Even when the world is on fire, his word is still going to be standing. That's your word today. I hope you receive it. I hope you receive it. Pray with me. Oh God, our Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your kindness. In the quietness of this moment, help us to apply the word of God to our lives. Help us to live out the living word that's inside of us, your spirit. Father, you've been kind. Father, you've been merciful. Father, you've been gracious. And we give you glory, we give you honor, and we give you praise. Wherever those who are listening this morning are situated right now, visit this moment. Visit this moment. Give them peace. Give them understanding. Father, help them to wait on you. Help them to wait on you. You know what's happening. You may not come when we want you, but you're going to show up. And when you show up, it's going to be on time. Thank you, Father, for the experiences that you've given us. It's made us stronger. It's made us wiser. It's made us better. I thank you for every person on this call. Stretch out your hand and touch them right now. Strengthen them, God, and protect them. We lift this morning Sister Tanya Hayward. Thank you for the miracle that you've bestowed upon her life. We lift Brother and Trustee Charles Myers. Thank you for how you've blessed them and how you've kept them and how you keep on keeping them time after time. We thank you for Sister Wanda Jones, for how you blessed her, blessing her, and strengthening her day by day. Father, we thank you for Sister Ashley, Sister Michelle. Many thought they would not make it, especially Ashley, but she's still here. Thank you for what you've done, and we give you glory. And now, God, we pray for those individuals who brought prayer lists to this call. They come believing and trusting that you're able. We know you're able. Father, do it, and I stand with them. I stand with them according to your will. Let it be done. You're able, God, and we thank you, and we praise you, and we magnify you. And now, God, for those who are here, we're getting ready to enter the last part of this week. It appears that we just started. But God, as we come to the top of the week, whatever comes our way, we want to put the word on. Help us, God. Strengthen us, God. Protect us, God. And we'll be able to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. We thank you, God, and we praise you. In Jesus.
Amen, 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 amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Everybody have a wonderful and blessed day.
Thank you. Blessings.
God bless.
God bless. a blessed week, everyone. God be with you.
Amen.
God bless you.
Or not.
This call is no longer.